SiriusXM Sports presents... At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Tuesday. Race fans, Sirius, 219 XM, 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online, and at our website too, stevepick.com. And the first full week, Saratoga, came to a, I can't call it satisfying, at least the way I bet yesterday, but a satisfying conclusion for a lot of people, a lot of players, undoubtedly, and the kind of a relaxed day there yesterday. Actually, it was kind of nice. Got done and kind of moseyed over, and you know, you use Mondays and Tuesdays to kind of regroup and catch up with the things that get shunted aside. All during the week, picked up dry cleaning, and it's pretty funny. There's a certain ebb and flow to life around Saratoga, and the six day a week racing. I keep saying it because it's really true, because we're so not used to it anymore. I mean, it's the last of its kind, and there's a very good chance, as part of the remodeling and the renovation at Belmont that is going to happen at some point, that the expectation is that the race day calendar will change a little up here in terms of maybe going to 5 days. And honestly, I used to think, it's a mistake, and works great the way it is, and what about the per diem, and that making people be away from home. What do you do about personnel? I can tell you, having worked on the racetrack with the barbecue for so many years, there's all kinds of problems getting staffing and keeping them, and there's a lot of elements to this. I suppose when it comes to town and gown, meaning the city of Saratoga, the city probably would be all for it. An extra couple of weeks of attendance, and frankly, the town bustles. The concept that Saratoga is the sleepy little Adirondack village, that's become kind of trite at this point, because the city keeps growing and people retiring here and so forth, and the city bustles. With Skidmore. The Skidmore calendar, starting in the fall and so forth. Yes, obviously the traffic decreases and so forth, but there's plenty of vitality around Saratoga the rest of the year. But if we end up having to go 8 weeks of 5 day, it might be a little easier on everybody, truth be told. So. Think about it. It's tough for, it's tough for the horsemen too. I mean, suddenly you're gonna have to rent a place a little longer, and there's a lot of moving parts to it. But meanwhile, racing tomorrow, there's not gonna be any delay to tomorrow's action, right? Well, yesterday, to do a quick synopsis of what transpired, and we're hoping to talk to Arch Kingsley, because the day started with the first Grade One jump race of the year and an upset, and this was a bettable horse. I got to be afraid that Show Court, and I was kicking myself when they turned for home, and Show Court was absolutely sitting in a great spot. And between him and Aranistan, you know, the way in which the fences and it's changed quite a bit. And speed and we talk about this. We talked about it with Bill Gallo. Speed on the flat, as it were, really plays well. And Arch Kingsley with a tremendous job with show court. Mark Buick, owner, and this is a horse that, has been overwhelmed at the grade one level. Tried the Turf Riders last year, the Colonial Cup as well down at Camden, and that came in the spring, the rescheduled Colonial Cup. And really had not fared particularly well. But Kingsley went up to Suffolk and got a prep. And quite a few of the jump horses for this season are doing that. And getting flat race turf preps. Jumped perfectly and just a well-timed ride. And here's a big grade one win. And Arch Kingsley, so much fun. He himself, of course, so accomplished in the Steeplechase Arena as a rider. And on a regular basis, tallies wins like this. And for him to win a Smithwick, you'll hear from him, and I mean he's ebullient under most circumstances. So after a win like this, he'll be absolutely irrepressible. In the meantime, Iranistan, the four-year-old, and there's a story here because as we talked with Bill Gallo, this is a horse that is going to be on the jump scene a long time, and for him to make a grade one debut and get beat a length. Ran and jumped really well and looked like a winner at one point. And then you could see show court was down inside, and Mitchell did a tremendous job with him and had plenty of horse. And it becomes, after that last jump on the backstretch, it becomes really an extended sprint to the wire. Overwhelming was a distant third in here for Jack Fisher. The disappointment, Modem, really never got much going in here at all. And after another second at the Iroquois, his long streak of second-place finishes at the highest level gets sidetracked. $30 winner if you got aboard show court. Bred in Ireland, and we'll get all the details from Arch Kingsley when we talk. And Arch is a lot of fun to have on. So that got things going. And then the rest of the card was absolutely, with that carryover, it was challenging. You had a bunch of horses change hands in the second, that Sal the Turtle won, Steve Asmussen. As we said to Steve yesterday, winning with all kinds of horses. It's winning races like this. This is a 12-5 claimer. And not only does he win, he and Jeff Bloom and Sal Gouvernail, they get to bring the horse home, and they'll probably jam him again. It seemed like up front was the place to be yesterday. And Sal the Turtle wires. But from there, Wesley Ward gets a win with Johnny, Battle Station. He had another couple of horses claimed out of the fourth, won by Divine Interventio, Steve Asmussen. Wins there, too. and then the start of the pick six. And I hearken back to yesterday. You may have heard just now in the last hour the conversation with Mike Beer. And when you have to start a pick six sequence with a single, it's tricky. And yeah, there's nothing worse than getting knocked out right away when you single in a pick six sequence or any big multi. But back to his roots, absolutely looked like a winner every single step. And nothing feels better than watching a race and knowing you're leaning on a horse and feeling good about where they are and how they're moving. So back to his roots, got it going, and Joe Sharp, the horse that he owns, and this one was claimed away, as it happens, John Terranova and Matt Gatsis. And Gatsis has been busy running some horses, and here's an acquisition for 50. Catch Me If You Can as well was claimed out of here by Steve Asmussen and Clark Brewster. Clark will be active at the claim box. He has a tendency to stock up. And also, you may notice, Clark Brewster has got mares that he's residing in New York. He's breeding mares locally as well. So things got off to a good start. And then, just like we discussed with Mike Beer, the concern about the second leg. And I said this may be a place where you want to go 1 by 6, which is no different than going, 2 by 3, right? I mean, when it's all said and done, in terms of your multiple, it's not any different than having a different structure. But once you got the single home, then where were you? Well, you needed it because High Promise, the Brian Lynch for Jim and Susan Hill, they're having a nice meet already, 9 days in. And it goes off at 9-2. And this was just one of six that you had to worry about in here. I mean, there was a seven. It got down to seven horses after a scratch, that survey scratched. But you had to worry about Course Correction, who was second. I picked Midnight Tea Time, who was third. Prompt had a look in there, enough of a look. My Dream for Suge. And Hampton Point ended up last, but the toner, but there was nothing wrong with Hampton Point. And Hampton Point had a big write-up in the Clocker Report. So this was a very tricky and the way you were going to approach the ticket. I think I can't imagine people went that narrow. I mean, you were absolutely using the second and third place finishers at the least. So that's what made this a tricky sequence. Then you had the stake, and this was a tough one. Personally, my day, as I said, ended badly or didn't go great, and this was a big part of it. That originator, who I really liked from Ian Wilkes, and I tell you, I've had way, way too many second place finishes with horses. And you key them, and so you get something out of it. I got nothing out of this, though. That hurt. And meanwhile, Broadway Run, I mentioned Gatsis and Terranova. Well, this is John Terranova with the Cura stable. And a prospective filly bred by Ocala Stud. She won it First Asking. She came back and was a good second to Money Moo, who's going to be one of the favorites in here, maybe even gone off favored, and comes back and now is a stake winner. And ran into Tanya and John Terranova right afterward. They were all smiles. Broadway run. And as mentioned, Ian Wilkes, a hard late closing second with that originator. You got 1340 on Broadway run. So that had to knock a few people out too, because that was a place where you had to use a bunch. And then the second half of the pick six, special relativity, second choice, you know, was one of the ones. Deodoro and Eminem. If you leaned on Maho Bay, you were a little disappointed. Haynes Fest didn't run well in there at all. Led for a while and folded early. 770 on the winner. That got you to that mile and three-eighths inner turf allowance. And focus group, you know, wins here and good effort. Came running late. Mid-stretch, it looked like any of four or five horses could win. It was a bit of a scramble, and then the scene shifted. Chad Brown and Seth Klarman and Bill Lawrence. This nice kitten's Joy Colt, the four-year-old, under Jose Ortiz. Jose Ortiz note in a minute. And then the nightcap and David Donk, who, as you know, Honk, if you like Donk, and he does a great job. He is absolutely terrific. 1560, Merlin's Muse, who, again, was like, you know, probably a B on a lot of tickets, maybe a C on some. Cape Blanco filly for W&T Thoroughbred Holdings under Erad Ortiz. And the pick six pays $57,967, which is pretty funny because that's what the carryover was going in virtually. It was virtually the exact same amount. It was pretty funny. And there was another $300,000 bet. We're going to talk about Jose Ortiz when we come back. Bob Edwards, bottom of the hour, to celebrate his birthday and the Haskell back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Same with the launch of Daily Racing Form's Buyer Sire Performance Standings, presented by Darley. These groundbreaking ratings use buyer speed figures to measure a stallion's performance beyond wins and earnings, focusing on providing a measurement of a sire's true ability to produce high-quality horses. View the Buyer Sire Performance Standings at drf.com/buyer sire and get the true information that breeds results. That's drf.com/buyer sire.
Cole Ranch has the facility and the expert personnel to get your yearlings started correctly right here in California. Hi, this is Steve Cole. We have a variety of round pens, a huge outdoor arena, as well as a meticulously maintained 5/8 mile training track with rails and a 4-horse starting gate. Your horse will be given the utmost in care and attention. We employ only patience and can. We employ only kindness and scrupulously avoid cowboy training methods that rely on fear and deprivation. We also have numerous irrigated turnouts when your horse needs a break from the rigors of training. So give me a call at 805-990-3669 or visit our website. At Cole Ranch, we don't break racehorses, we build racehorses.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
One early morning, as I was walking, I met a woman, started talking. I took her home to get a few nips, but all I had was a mint and tulip. One mint tulip was the cause of it.
We're back at the races. You know, mentioned Jose Ortiz, and yesterday noted that his performance Sunday at Monmouth might ignite him here at Saratoga, because he really kind of struggled here the first, you know, he had the first, what, 7 days, 7 days of racing. And had only had three wins, which, you know, for him is you know, a, kind of a stunningly low number. So the allowance win yesterday, and keep an eye on that part of the story. Always interesting, and most people, you know, most of the riding conversation has, I think, gravitated toward the performance of Ricardo Santana Jr., like we brought up yesterday with Steve Asmussen. I mean, the kid is aggressive, and boy, that solves a lot of ills around these parts. If you're gonna, you know, snatch and grab, as the saying goes, right? Luis Saez too. Saez riding well, and the winds are getting spread out. A little bit of everybody, and we're gonna talk to Wayne Catalano and his son-in-law, of course, Channing Hill. Their win with Farrell. We'll talk to Wayne. I saw Wayne was leaving. He participated yesterday. One of the reasons I waited and didn't call him yesterday was, you know, on the chance that that filly that he brought into the Coronation Cup, that she, you know, might run well, that Flashly and Carmouche, actually, because Channing blew out of town, but Carmouche riding. And Wayne, you know, it was a lot to ask. It's funny because she was even less raced with only the one start versus the winner, who had two starts under her belt. But Flashly, you know, the way she won that debut, it was, you know, it's hard to know how good she might have been. So they rolled the dice, and I'll let Wayne discuss what he thought of. He wasn't thrilled with where. Where Carmouche put Flashly, but that's, you know, Catman kind of shrugged, you know, shrugged that off. One of the irrepressibles, right? Like Arch Kingsley, all these ex riders, right? That are training. Wayne, so popular everywhere he goes. He's just personable and approachable and fun. So we'll talk to Catman. I said Bob Edwards. I mentioned Bob Edwards going to join us. John White. We'll catch up with John, do some West Coast swing, and discuss anything we might have missed out of the weekend. Just cleaning house with everything, because there's, you know, the three venues. Haven't even mentioned what went on north of the border either. Woodbine. You had the Toronto Cup and another win in the Vigil, Pink Lloyd. Bob Tiller just not to be beaten, basically. And just a sprinting terror. Eureka Da Silva with a big weekend. There, Jose Ortiz wasn't the only rider that dominated a weekend, because Da Silva won three out of the four stakes at Woodbine over the weekend. He won for Kevin Attard, and that was in the Royal North, the way to Versailles. And he also won the King Quarry for Norm McKnight with Wyattstown, the Spikestown. And Cassie and Mrs. Weber combined, March to the Arch. They win that Toronto Cup with Gary Boulanger. So this afternoon at Sperry's, I think. Yeah, right? Sperry's today, I think. They move those draws around. I think the Travers draw is going to be at the remodeled Adelphi, if I'm not mistaken, at the Blue Hen, or maybe in the courtyard that extends behind the new Blue Hen in the Adelphi. And if you haven't seen, when you come to town, the Adelphi is came out just gorgeous. It's unbelievable, actually, how beautiful it is. And the Whitney draw later this afternoon, they'll be streamed for those of you that are watching from afar. And a nice field coming together. Backyard heaven, I would imagine, favorite, or maybe vie for favoritism with Mind Your Biscuits. Backyard Heaven, Mind Your Biscuits, Dalmore, Good Samaritan, another dirt try, McCracken. Tuna's been here for a couple of works. Ian Wilkes feels like he's very capable of poaching a Whitney, right? Taprit, as last year's Belmont winner, tries to pull things together, and Rick Violette has not made a decision regarding Diversify. Because if Diversify goes, he would also obviously go to the head of the class when it comes to the favoritism. And then there's also a horse. I reached out today to Uriah St. Louis, and the Discreet Lover story has not been told enough yet. And I think there's a piece. Dave Grenig mentioned to me that he was going to do something about St. Louis. He's an amazing story himself. And then what he's done with Discreet Lover, who has gone from being looked at in big stake races, particularly here in New York, you don't just look at him and kind of shrug and gloss over him anymore. St. Louis has had an unbelievable success with this horse. And he's obviously run in spots that, feel a little bit out of reach in terms of win candidacy. But he did come in and win the Excelsior over the winter. He's won some smaller stakes. And St. Louis has banked $800,000 with Discreet Lover. And I'm going to get that. I know Repent has had a couple of... I'll have to look that up. I'm going to assume that he's Repent's top producing son, top performer. And, Discreet Lover is he's a horse. He's not a gelding. The horse himself, a story. And then there's St. Louis, who... We might have to refer to him as the Trinidadian Bobby Frankel, because he literally came out of the grandstand like Frankel did to get involved as a horseman. It's a tremendous story. He grew up not far from Aqueduct and literally would run over to the racetrack. I don't mean by subway or cab. Literally would run 2 miles because he was on the track team. it's very cool. We got to get St. Louis on the show because he's done a great job and didn't get a chance to talk to him over the winter when it came to that Excelsior, the spring, got so caught up with with the three-year-old picture, but he has done a really good job with Discreet Lover. So we'll look forward to that. Bred by Woodford down in Florida, and was a very modest. And he came out and you know, was a inexpensive purchase, and it's inspiring, really. No doubt, horse like this, you know, and he really, by all rights, he was signaling that he was a real horse from early on. You know, operating as another, you know, Philadelphia-based, along with Imperial Hint. We love celebrating these kinds of stories. We're going to celebrate a belated birthday with Bob Edwards next. Let's step away. Bob Edwards is going to join us and talk about another big win for him. Obviously, you know, winning Breeders' Cup races, whether it's Good Magic and New Money Honey, and you know, Bob Edwards has had a lot of success. We've talked to him before. This was kind of fun, and I tongue-in-cheek asked him earlier this morning, which was less of a surprise, winning the Haskell or the supposed surprise birthday party they had for him the other night. that never works, right? The birthday, the surprise, but everybody, you always know about the surprise party. Bob Edwards next, E5.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
The thoroughbred breeding industry will never be the same with the launch of Daily Racing Form's Buyer-Sire Performance Standings, presented by Darley. These groundbreaking ratings use buyer speed figures to measure a stallion's performance beyond wins and earnings, focusing on providing a measurement of a sire's true ability to produce high-quality horses. View the Buyer-Sire Performance Standings at drf.com/buyer-sire and get the true information that breeds results. That's drf.com/buyer-sire.
Cole Ranch has the facility and the expert personnel to get your yearlings started correctly right here in California. Hi, this is Steve Cole. We have a variety of round pens, a huge outdoor arena, as well as a meticulously maintained 5/8 mile training track with rails and a 4-horse starting gate. Your horse will be given the utmost in care and attention. We employ only patience and kindness, and scrupulously avoid cowboy training methods that rely on fear and deprivation. We also have numerous irrigated turnouts when your horse needs a break from the rigors of training. So give me a call at 805-990-3669 or visit our website. At Cole Ranch, we don't break racehorses. We build racehorses.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I am a passenger. Good night.
We're back at the races, bottom of hour one. Had conversations with Bob Edwards at several junctures along the way, and he's had so much success, and it's come very quickly, and it all depends on picking out horses that that have the potential. Then you put them in the hands of horsemen. The case of New Money Honey and Good Magic with Chad. And Bob Edwards always looks just delighted. And think back to the conversation we had after the Breeders' Cup, where it was all day long, all weekend long, he was pinching himself. And good things continue to happen to one of the nice new people in and around the game. Bob Edwards joins us. Belated birthday greetings and congratulations on the Haskell win.
Thank you. For the record, my birthday is not until October. So my wife tried to surprise me early, but once I got to the backside, everybody's wishing me happy birthday, so it kind of went south on it. But she really did. She really tried. She really did.
That's pretty funny. So that's actually clever now that I think about it, because should anything have gone wrong Sunday down at Monmouth, this brightens your mood, and it just ended up being a kind of a 96-hour party instead.
Still kept going because the PDJF had the karaoke last night, and I'm surprised I didn't miss the turn and I'm up this early.
Well, the 2-day extravaganza, they did the jockey karaoke on the West Coast and then came back last night. And, of course, the one at Vapors, it's been a big hit every year, and it always does a great job raising money and awareness for the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund. And the video clips that emerge are always ridiculous, no exception last night. A lot of fun.
I'm sitting on my backyard right now overlooking Oklahoma, and it's really quiet today.
Exactly, because a number of the jocks probably slept in. Well, talk about the situation. I mean, the win, I'm not going to say was presumed. You never presume to win, but he was obviously an overwhelmingly likely winner. But you were coming out of such a gut-wrencher in the Preakness where he and Justify hooked up, and it's going to go down, obviously, Bob, in racing history as the biggest challenge to the Triple Crown winner who retires undefeated. Talk a little bit about the Triple Crown season and the aftermath leading up to Sunday.
As we talked before, I didn't realize, how big the Breeders' Cup was. And, being involved in the Breeders' Cup was special. It's a great event. And, I still watch it and get goosebumps. The Triple Crown is a lifestyle. It's a journey. It's 3, 4, 5 months of just constant, pins and needles, every day hoping Chad doesn't call me before 11:30 with bad news, making arrangements, trying to sort out where we're going to be next, what's going on. It's an unbelievable experience. It couldn't have went better with another partner. I mean, I had just a delightful time with Barbara and the crew from Stone Street. That made the magic even more special.
That story, which we discussed going back to Breeders' Cup and to Good Magic's emergence, and then ultimately becoming champion, you buy the horse bred by Stone Street, and then the two of you make a marriage and enjoying the journey together.
Yeah, and it's been it's been unbelievable. Our both camps get along well together, and it's kind of we're together for the prep races, and then we're together for the Derby, and we're together for the Preakness. And then I don't see him for like a month. And it's kind of like, we got divorced. It was kind of funny. I missed hanging out with him because we were so close, in close quarters for so many days. And then, and then finally we get back together and get to celebrate. And we get to celebrate in their silks, which is really special for those guys to win the Haskell.
Well, and your familiar jacket with the lime green and purple accoutrement. The Derby. Discuss that experience.
It was wet. It was wonderful. I mean, you know, Churchill did a great job setting us up. There's a picture of my wife and I that somebody had taken. You know, walking, holding hands, the kids behind us. You know, walking up the track when the song's playing, and you know, we're just grinning ear to ear in ankle deep mud, and it's just the experience. It's happened so fast. It's hard to put in words. You know, it just you go from the anxiety getting to the race to getting to the backside to walking up to the race being over and just watching the race. You know, we see the horse come around the corner, and obviously Justified Monster horse is ahead of us, and Good Magic kind of catches up to him. Jose does a great job and catches up to him, and at that point we think we have a really good shot, and Justified just had that second gear and pulled away from us, and we came in second. But couldn't have been happier with the way Jose did his job and the way the horse came out of it and the way the horse fought and kept going.
You then get to Baltimore, and you made a fairly quick decision. There's just a slight few days. Wanted to see how he came out of the Derby, and you take another shot 2 weeks later, and the surreal atmosphere, obviously, with the fog. How did you take to that, and how much of the race did you see live?
So, getting into that, we had really no plans for anything at the point after Derby. Just make sure the horse gets home, he's happy, he's healthy, and we can live to fight another day. He got back up to Belmont, and Chad was just, happy with the way horse rebounded. I mean, the horse has rebounded well every time. He gained weight pretty quickly. He trained well, and Chad said, look, I'm going to take another shot. Hope the weather was better, but it might even have been worse. We actually got up to the stands to see it, and kind of like TV, once they got around the first turn, we really couldn't see anything. It was kind of just a lot of fog, and then it kind of separated a little bit, and it looked like we were ahead for a few seconds, and then, fog again, and then Justified was ahead of us again. So they were going at it head-to-head kind of the whole backstretch, and it came around the turn, and we did all the hard work, it looked like, and some of the other horses benefited from, Jose pressing him. And, Jose didn't want to go for a second. He wanted to take a stab at him, and he did.
Absolutely. And for whatever reason, the way people adjudicated the performances, criticizing him seemed ridiculous. It didn't make any sense. There was only one way to win that race, and if that's what you're there for, you only get, as we always hear, Bob, you only get one chance at those races, the three classics. You only get one chance at each age group, when you compete in two-year-old races at Breeders' Cup, etc. You don't go in there riding tentatively, and if nobody confronts Justify, he's going to romp. I mean, and that became evident in 3 weeks later in New York.
And, it's great to have a plan going into it, but, I couldn't see Jose, so I'm not sure what he could see going around the turn. So, I can't fault him for anything he did. He came to win, and he ran, and I've read and heard, other elephant jockeys said they do the same thing. It was a race, and, he was going to win the race. So, he's going to play to win. So, I respect that.
Well, time after the Preakness and regroup, this became the goal, the Haskell. And it from every vantage point, the distance, the configuration, and then with the knowledge that Justify was, you knew weeks ago that he wasn't, he was headed in the other direction. And Good Magic basically becomes, I think it's pretty clear, you know, the leading three-year-old in the country, with Justify retired. Some thoughts about Sunday.
You know, we were, you know, anxious going into Sunday, obviously. You know, we wanted the horse to perform. I hadn't seen him, you know, seen him live, you know, since the Preakness. I hadn't been down to Belmont. I know he's been training. XPTV has had, you know, great coverage on him training. So, you know, I saw him work, and I saw the numbers, and I spoke with Chad, you know, daily, you know, getting updates, let me know, you know, what he thought. And when I saw him in the paddock, I was just blown away. I mean, he was just a bigger, more muscular version of himself. You know, not much bigger physically, but, you know, he had just put on some weight. His coat was just glowing. His ears were pricked. And he just had all the confidence in the world. And I kind of said this to a few people. I don't know if you've read the Mr. Darley's Arabian, but if you read the foreword, and it talks about Frankel and how, you know, he knows going to the race, he's going to win. Just kind of, he had that kind of the air about him. That's kind of when I saw him in the paddock, he just had that same kind of confidence in his eye, just kind of the way he looked. He just wasn't washed out. He just was glowing, and he just went through the tunnel. He just kind of soaked it all in, and that's the kind of horse he is. You know, when Walter takes him on the track, you know, and sets him up to work out, he just kind of goes up and sits in a spot and just kind of sorts everything out for a while, and he could stay there forever just watching everybody work before he wants to go. And he just takes it in, and that's what he's doing, going through the tunnel, getting onto the track. And, you know, at that point, I felt really confident that, you know, we were going to have a good day. And then, you know, coming into the turn, when Jose did the Paco Lopez look under his legs before he even got to the turn, I said, all right, we got plenty of horse here. And, you know, he just kind of rode a perfect ride.
An easy winner, and sets up potentially a regrouping of these three-year-olds, Bob, when it comes to Travers. Some early thoughts looking ahead?
Well, my trainer's license is expired. I am going to, you know, hope that, you know, everything works out well. He is up at Jazz right now in Saratoga. He looks great, looks the part, looks happy. You know, I saw him yesterday. I went over and, you know, just kind of checked him out. And, he's the horse that he's been every time I've checked him out. And, you know, he'll be here training. He'll get on the track. He'll do hopefully what he does best and train hard. And he's got that, you know, some of the best blood in the world. I mean, he's got that hard spun, you know, cross with the curling cross. It's that fight in him, that heart in him, that mental constitution, everything you want in a horse, this horse has in him.
Well, gets the bonus, of course, of winning your in, winning your in for Breeders' Cup Classic and a return trip to Churchill. You know that is going to suit him, and plenty of excitement between now and then. Let's touch on, you know, some of the other things going on in the stable, and think about Rushing Fall, and had a little hiccup, missed the opening opportunity when it came to the Lake George, maybe the Lake Placid later on. New Money Honey coming back along the way here as a four-year-old. Touch base with some of the familiar fillies.
You know, Rushing Fall, she kind of popped the fever on Sunday, and you know, disappointed that we couldn't run her opening day. Saratoga happens to be my kryptonite. I have not won a race here, and I thought, you know, oh man, I got Rushing Fall coming in here. I got a shot to win opening week, and it just didn't work out. She, you know, she's back. She's training. She looks good. She's here in Saratoga as well. Her coat is glowing again. You know, Chad and his crew have done a phenomenal job, you know, nursing her back to health, getting her ready. And, you know, I expect, you know, she'll probably be at the Lake Placid. Tough ask, a little, you know, off a layoff, coming up a mile and an eighth. But she's kind of a freaky filly, and we're looking for special things from her for, you know, remainder of the season.
Yeah, and New Money Honey feels like, you know, there's a little bit more of a challenge getting her to maintain and go forward from, you know, the terrific three-year-old campaign. Yep. Did we lose Bob Case?
Oops, sorry, guys. Can you hear me?
There you go. Yeah, we lost you. First.
New Mother Honey was, you know, she came off a nice allowance race after a long, you know, long season, a long rest. Diana was a big ask. I mean, coming off against all those superior, three-year-old, four-year-old now, turf monsters, and, she just kind of wasn't 100%. She ran well. Javier had a perfect trip, and she just kind of didn't fire like I hope to see her fire. But, she's up here, and, we'll see what happens. There'll be chattel placer somewhere else again, and, see if she's still got it in the tank, and we'll see what happens.
When it comes to the business, and every time we've spoken, as you learn more and you experience more, talk about philosophy, approach. You've had a lot of success, obviously, with Phillies, and we think about Zendaya as well. What's your evolving approach in terms of the bloodstock side and breeding some, or liquidating, particularly the Phillies that can be very attractive when it comes to bloodstock redistribution in the fall?
So I've been breeding since day one. I actually have a filly that'll be here at the Saratoga auction, book two. I think she's hit 143 out of a kind of one of those classic Claiborne pedigrees. The mom is a full sister to Late's mom. Medaglia d'Oro, Distorted Humor Cross. I sold at least 7 or 8 horses in the last, season and a half. So I am breeding. I have some really nice stock, like New Money Honey, multiple grade one, multiple grade three winner. We were kind of set her up with Warfront for, the end of the season or the next season to breed, knowing that's a really nice cross for her. First foal, she'll drop something hopefully a little bigger because she's a big girl. And, we'll get something, either a runner or something to sell out of her. Zendaya is actually she's in Ireland right now. She's in foal to Frankel Colt. I had a filly named Ms. Money, multiple grade stakes winner. Same thing. She's in Ireland in foal to a team in Colt. Both are pretty hot right now over in Europe. And I have, a whole bunch here in New York, New York breds, and I do have some Kentucky breds as well.
And did you breed that one?
What I'm doing is actually I rescued a dog for my daughter and her boyfriend, and I got stuck training it. So that's what I got going on at the house right now. That's why I had to get up early after going hanging out all night with the jocks.
I love it. That's great. Speaking of the family, how much of the season can you spend before the kids have to go back to school?
So they're all so. So Cassidy is she's in now. She's up here comes up Sunday and leaves usually Wednesday unless we're having something big. She'll stay the weekend. My daughter Delaney is going to the University of Miami now. She transferred out of Arizona and she goes to University of Miami. She's coming up Wednesday for a week and then back and forth maybe one more time maybe the Travers before school starts. And then my son is going to school right now full time. For summer, so he pops in and out. He was up last week for the unsurprise party, and he'll be up for Travers as well. So they come in and out. We see him quite a bit.
Nice. Well, as we've said, you're such a nice addition, and they've had, I don't want to say instant success, because that that doesn't tell the story, but the success is, as Branch Rickey said, luck is the residue of design, and a lot of this is by design, and it has to feel great, particularly when it comes to a horse like Good Magic giving you the other side of the breeding success in terms of building a stallion.
Yeah, and that's super exciting, having an opportunity to build a stallion, and that's where having a partner like Barbara pays dividends. They've done this before multiple times, and working through, the deals and the stallion contracts and understanding, how we get, revenue and how they count live foals. That's kind of all new to me. I never had that opportunity to do, and I'm lucky to have it at this point in my racing career, but having her team kind of support me on that and explain it to me and spend time was priceless.
Well, you've got horses spread around too. Saw that you had that winner with David Fox down in Florida the other day. Mike Stidham training some, and Brad Cox, the rest of the far-flung operation?
You know, not every horse, unfortunately, can race in New York. You know, they're just not good enough, right? So you gotta kind of find a spot for them. And fortunately, I figured that out early enough on that, you know, there's really good guys outside of New York that can get you wins and get horses moving. And that's kind of what I'm doing, trying to get, you know, black type on some of these fillies, you know, in other places where, you know, we're in Saratoga. It's tense here, as you know. The best of the best are here. And not all my horses are super fast, unfortunately. You know, I have some horses, and they're great horses, and they'll be great in those areas. But, you know, they're not this level of competition.
Well, a horse like Local Hero, actually, who's the one who won for David the other day at Gulfstream. I mean, he kept good company, and that's a useful horse.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm happy to have him down with Dave. Dave's done a good job kind of reprogramming the whole Derby trail. You know, it kind of took a lot out of him. And, you know, we had to regroup with him. Always been sound. You know, mentally kind of had to get him back into racing, and he's back in racing form. It's nice to see him win a circle.
Well, and I see that you got that Irish bred filly, Good Marks. This is coming up tomorrow at Delaware. Mike Stidham will send out the filly, and looks like an acquisition from Europe.
Yeah, I do a fair bit. You know, there's some good times of the year toward the end when guys are getting rid of horses, and you know they were coming, you know, 2 and 3 to Aiden and Joseph. And it makes for a horse that works well here. You know, the competition there is pretty tough as well. So, I have a bloodstock agent, Mike Ryan's my guy here in the States. Ben Riley out in Europe at BB Ireland is my guy there. And, you know, he's been doing a phenomenal job. We hit Tattersall's yearling sale. A little late bloomers, most of them. But some of those will kind of come on after Saratoga as well. And there's some nice horses with some nice pedigrees that we picked up there. It's a lot of fun over there as well, racing, too.
Well, Bob Edwards, always fun to connect with you and watch his success, breed success, good magic, targeting, looks like Travers, and keep them all healthy, happy, and look forward to seeing the lime green, the purple.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, we'll get you that Saratoga. If you're going to have a first win at Saratoga, a Travers isn't a bad place to start.
You know, that's what we do think back. You know, everything's backwards. I think we have 4 stakes wins before we won a classic maiden. You know, Good Magic broke his maiden, the Breeders' Cup. So, you know, if I had to pick one win, I'll take it. Yeah, that'd be the way to go.
Absolutely. Bob Edwards, everybody, E5, and has really made a splash, did it right away, and as you can tell, enjoys every aspect of the game, from the breeding, the bloodstock, to the fun side socially, and we'll be watching you selling it at the sale next Monday and Tuesday, and keeping an eye on what you're doing. Always fun to connect.
Thank you. Great talking to you. Have a great day.
Bob Edwards, E5 Racing, and he's done just a terrific job. And then the same success that he had building the pharma business, E5 Pharma, and we talked about that, I don't know, maybe, I think it was probably after New Money Honey, when she emerged. We talked about his the generic drug business that he built from nothing, and that's rewarding. We certainly see a number of people come from other businesses, other industries, and they struggle. But you could also hear from a management technique side that Bob Edwards, you know, has confidence in the people that are part of the operation, and you can see it all in the results. It's easy enough to evaluate, right? Top of the hour, let's take a timeout and come back. John White's going to check in. We'll go through some of the West Coast action that we haven't discussed yet. Talk about the maidens. Get to John's read. John was writing about the post-justified landscape. we'll get a read from him on the three-year-old scene, how the deck has been reshuffled. And they took the J, the Joker came out of the deck. So there's no wild card when it comes to the Triple Crown winner. So we'll see what John thinks of the three-year-old scene after this weekend's three races. Jim Dandy, Curlin, and Haskell. And more. Talk about the nice parade of two-year-olds. Right now, it feels like the two-year-olds on the West Coast, once again, are the marquee juveniles. At least for now. We've got a couple. We've got a few here on the East, but there's been a steady every 3-4 days. There's been another eye-popping performance by a two-year-old out west, particularly Hollendorfer, Baffert, O'Neill maybe a notch below with the O'Neill's two-year-olds, but certainly Hollendorfer and Baffert, scary. John White next, Wayne Catalano in a little bit, Arch Kingsley, Dick Powell, much, much more. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
If you want to hit big at Saratoga and Del Mar, ExpressBet is the only way to play. ExpressBet customers have access to free handicapping information, like wager guides for the Traverse and Pacific Classic, and expert tips from renowned handicappers like Eddie Olchik. Plus, new ExpressBet customers will receive a $500, $100, or $20 welcome bonus when they sign up today. Learn more at ExpressBet.com. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Cole Ranch has the facility and the expert personnel to get your yearlings started correctly right here in California. Hi, this is Steve Cole. We have a variety of round pens, a huge outdoor arena, as well as a meticulously maintained 5/8 mile training track with rails and a 4-horse starting gate. Your horse will be given the utmost in care and attention. We employ only patience and kindness and scrupulously avoid cowboy training methods that rely on fear and deprivation. We also have numerous irrigated turnouts when your horse needs a break from the rigors of training. So give me a call at 805-990-3669 or visit our website. At Cole Ranch, we don't break racehorses, we build racehorses.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.